Romans chapter 10, and Romans chapter 10, I'm going to, just going to start with verse 9, Romans 10 and 9, very familiar. Most people, a lot of people call this part of the Roman road, all that stuff, and that's not my intent. But notice what he says in Romans 10 and 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why would you have to believe that? Well, if you didn't believe it, there wouldn't be no need of calling on him, would it? And Paul said, if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain, and you're still yet in your sin. So the resurrection is very important. It's just as important as a part of the gospel as the death of Christ. And Christ died for your sins, but had God not raised him from the dead, there'd be no Savior to call upon. Now notice what he said. He says that God, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Well, that can't be your righteousness. You have none. Our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags in his sight. The Bible says that there's none righteous, no, not one. But he that believeth with the heart, notice what he says there. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Well, there's something you got to believe about that righteousness. What is that righteousness? It's his righteousness. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Now, it doesn't matter what the theologians say about it, nothing like that. I could care less what the religious world says about it. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Why? If he hadn't have been born of a virgin, he couldn't have been a perfect sacrifice. He'd been just like you and me, an old sinner. But Jesus Christ never did anything that was wrong. He never sinned. He never had an evil thought. The Bible says there was no guile found in his mouth. He never said anything wrong. He never had to hesitate. He was perfect. He was the perfect Son of Almighty God. And he died a death that he didn't deserve. He died your death. Now listen to me. Now we ain't coming here to play games. This is not a place of just to come here to say you come. I want you to listen to what I got to say. I think what I got to say is the most important thing that ought to be said right now. Jesus Christ was God. The Bible said that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their righteousness or their sin unto them, their unrighteousness. Now look what he said. So you got to believe something. What is it that you got to believe? It's unto righteousness. Well, verse 11 says, for the Scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There's that word ashamed that Robbie was talking about. Confounded, confused. Listen to me. If you know that Jesus Christ died for you on that cross, He went to that cross and He died for your sins on that cross, and He paid the price that you couldn't pay for yourself. He died your death. He took your sin and He's given you His righteousness. Then that's something you got to believe. And if you don't believe it, you'll never be saved. And you can go to church, you can do all you want to do, and you can be baptized till you're like a prune and end up in hell. Salvation comes not from your works, it comes from you believing something. Now look what he says. And if you do believe on Him, you're not going to be confounded. You're not going to be confused about it. I'm not confused about my salvation. Why? I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. I believe that He died for me on the cross. I believe that God raised Him from the dead. I believe that He's in heaven as my intercessor. I believe I'm in Him today because by faith I'm in Him. I'm not confused about it. Why? I believe what God said. God said, if I believe on Him, God saved me. Now either God lied or something ain't right. We ain't got no hope anyway. Throw the Bible in the trash and let's go home and forget about it. The Bible says that Jesus said, no man can come unto the Father but by me. And all that the Father shall give me shall come unto me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You know why you ain't saved today? You never came to Jesus Christ for salvation. You come to the church. You come to the baptistry. You come to the doing good works. You're depending on your works. You're depending on your goodness. You're depending on your church leadership or your church membership. You're depending on something today. Every one of you is depending on something to get you out of this world. Well, there ain't but one thing that's going to do that, and that's Him. Now let's look at it. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall what? Let me show you how that word's used. Look back in Acts chapter 25. Hang on to Romans, but look back in Acts chapter 25. Acts chapter 25. Notice in verse 11. In Acts chapter 25, verse 11. The Bible says, therefore, if I, Paul talking, verse 10 said, then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat. Verse 11. For if I be offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. That word appeal is the same word that's translated call in Romans 10:13. It's the same word translated call in 2 Timothy 2:22 that talk about calling on the Lord out of a pure heart. Do you know what it is to call upon the Lord? It's not necessarily done with your mouth. It's a turning to Him. It's turning your case. You know what Paul was saying there? I'm turning my case over to Caesar. I appeal unto Caesar. When did you, as a sinner, going to hell, just simply turn it over to the Lord for your salvation and trust Him? When did you ever appeal unto the Lord for salvation? When did you ever call upon the Lord for your salvation? When did you, as a sinner, get down somewhere, Lord, I'm going to hell, and if you don't save me, I'll never get saved. I want to be saved. Lord, I appeal to you. I call on you. I trust you. say, well, I've never done that. Well, you're not saved. Just mark her down. You're lost as a goose in a hailstorm somewhere. You say, well, you don't... Listen, there ain't no gray area in this. You're either saved or you're lost. You either somewhere in your life have come to the Lord and come to the knowledge, I am a sinner, I'm going to hell, and if God don't save me, there's no hope, and I simply believe what He did for me. Now, when did you do that? And if you've done that, you know it. And if you don't know it, and you're confounded, and you're confused about it, it's because you've never done it. Now, I want to talk to you about preaching. I said all of that about the gospel because there's people here that's not saved. You're not fooling the Lord. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You've never seen yourself as a sinner. Proverbs says a man's ways is clean in his own eyes. The only way a man ever see himself as God sees him is by the Holy Spirit. You see yourself a sinner, that's the Spirit of God showing you what you really are. Preaching. There are two lines of preaching in this Bible. I want you to notice something about preaching. Come on down with me in Romans there. He said in verse 14, or verse 3, verse 13 again, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's got to be something. Romans 10:13, there's got to be something that causes you to appeal. There's something that's got to be preached that makes you call upon the Lord. Notice what he said. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, folks, I want you to understand, if you go backwards in this line, you'll have the correct order. It all begins with the Lord. And what does the Lord do? He sends a preacher. And that preacher has a message. And the message is heard by people. And when they hear it, they either believe it or they reject it. And them that believe it, call. And them that call, get saved. There's another line of order over there. And I really don't have time to go through all of this, but he talks about them that believe that Paul went. Look in Acts 17. I'll just use this and we'll go on because I want you to, in these four ways, folks, everybody here is going to do one of these. If you're lost, notice in verse Acts 17, Paul's talking about, he's preaching to them in verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man who is righteous, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Now there might not be, but that about every time there's the gospel's preached, there's always somewhere somebody mocks it. In their heart or somewhere they're mocking it. Well, listen to that old crazy man up there. A hooping and a hollering about somebody dying for my sins. I've had them to tell me I don't need nobody to die for my sins. or they're going to end up in the lake of fire. They're going to be drunk, kicked off into the lake of fire like you would a football. You think God Almighty would put His Son through all that He put Him through and delivered Him over to the hands of the Gentiles into them Roman soldiers, and they strapped Him down and they tied Him to a post and they took a whip and they beat Him and pulled chunks of flesh out of His back, and the Bible says you could see His inwards in there, and they tore His back up, plowed it like you would first, and they whipped Him, they spit upon Him, they pulled His beard out, they beat Him like a pup, and then they nailed Him to a cross, and you think God allowed all of that and then turn around and let you get into heaven because you think you're good, you are some hot shot? Well, listen, God will put you in the bottom of hell, and you'll burn like a ball of sausage, and you'll burn for eternity in hell, and you'll scream, and you'll gnaw your tongue, and you'll bite your mouth, and you'll weep, and you'll cry, and the flames around you, and God's going to sit there and laugh at you. That's the God of the Bible. People say, well, that's not a God of love. Let me tell you where God showed His love for you. God Almighty let His Son be nailed in A.D. 33 to that wooden tree, and that tree there, and God gave up His Son. There ain't nobody in here would do that for you. You wouldn't turn your son over like that. I mean, I see the Lord out there in that garden. I see Him out there praying in my mind's eyes. He tells Peter and them, said, pray. The flesh is weak, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. He's not talking about them, He's talking about Him. And He goes out there and He says, Father, if it be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Do you know what that cup is? That cup's the cup of the wrath of Almighty God that He's got to drink. And that wrath is reserved for you. And Jesus Christ must drink it for you. Your sins, salvation is free, but it costed the Lord something. Your sins, you got it. Somebody said, well, you mean God's just going to let us get by with? God ain't letting you get by with nothing. Don't you understand? Your sins was paid for by the suffering of Christ, by the death of Christ. And your sins have been paid for. And folks, God ain't letting you get by. Your sins put Him on that cross. But you reject Him, and you draw your last breath. So while I'm young, that 16-year-old, 15-year-old girl, this week I was watching the news. June said, isn't she pretty? Beautiful. Going down the road with her friends. Going too fast. Flipped over. She's in eternity. You reckon she got up that morning and said it's a good day to die? You reckon a 15, 16-year-old girl thought this is going to be my last day on this earth? You go out and you look at the cemeteries. You see the children that's laid out in there. You see the people there. There's more people in the cemeteries my age than there are 90 and 100-year-olds. The Bible says it's appointed unto man wants to die and after this to judgment. What is a man's life? It is even as a vapor. It appeareth and it vanishes away. Job says your life is like a weaver's shuttle. It goes and it's gone. I remember when I was 16, do you? It don't seem too far away. But it's 40-some years has gone by since I was looking to get my license. Wishing when I was 15. Why was Mama couldn't have had me a year before then? And then after I got 21, got on the wheel, started coming back. Why did Mama not? Why didn't she wait 5 or 10 years? And time just goes on. Do you think I've always had gray hair? I looked at a picture and I thought, who is that? And I go in there in the mirror and I look in the mirror and I said, my God, I'm like David. You know what David said? I was young and now I'm old. I came and started preaching to y'all in 1975. What's that, 34 years? Soon be 35 years. 35 years. Gone by. Another 35, I won't be here. But bless your heart. When the time comes, and the Lord says, okay, Brian, you've done enough. Let's go. Be like D.L. Moody when somebody says, oh, Brian died. But no, he didn't. He just moved out. I look forward to eternity. I can stand and say, Lord, it's one thing people can say, but there's one thing I'd stand with confidence. I've tried to be faithful and true to His book and preach the gospel. Then why are you saying all that? Well, there could be somebody in here, and this could be your last sermon you'll ever hear. And it has nothing to do with your age. God demonstrated His love, for God commended His love toward us, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That's the preaching. But see, some mock at it. Back in Acts, He said, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And then there's another group that says, we will hear thee again. Man, I don't get saved now. I'll come back. I put it off. They're like Agrippa. Paul, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. Felix trembled. Then they find that there's another group, verse 34, howbeit certain men clave unto Him and what? And believed. Now I'll tell you what. The claving there, they loved it. Your response is you either mock at it, you'll put it off, I'll hear thee again, or you'll love the message and believe the message, or you won't. Preaching. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. You can't find him out, that verse that Robbie read in Ecclesiastes. They can't figure him out. Neither can you. The wisdom of this world knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Not preaching foolishness, but the foolishness of preaching. Paul said there in verse, talks about in chapter 2, the testimony of God. Verse 4 said, my speech and my preaching. You know what the world needs? They need preaching. But they need the right kind of preaching. Two ways that I want you to see, and I'm going to let you go. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And notice in verse 25. Romans 16, 25. Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which is kept secret since the world began. Then there's the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the mystery over here. According to the revelation of the mystery. And then there's the preaching of Jesus Christ according to prophecy. And that's the only two ways he's preached. Now, I go back here, Genesis, and I'll go from Genesis to Malachi. And he's prophesied that he would come. For instance, turn to Isaiah and look in Isaiah. And I'm not going to give you many of these, but notice in Isaiah chapter 9. In Isaiah chapter 9. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Then he has a throne and he has a kingdom. And that king, he shows up and you have Matthew, and I'll just put it Matthew through John. And what's it about? About the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? And so, I'm just saying, here's Jesus Christ over here, and you find he's preached according to prophecy, and he's to sit upon the throne of David. Why, in fact, come to Matthew. Hang on to Isaiah. We're going right back there, but look at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of generation of Jesus Christ, the son of who? The son of David, the son of Abraham. David had to do with the throne. Abraham had to do with the land. And the government covered the land. And the throne is the judicial. And he is. He's the king. And you know where he comes up? Goes into Jerusalem. I don't have time to keep on. One other, look in Matthew again. Look in Matthew 5. I guess I got all the time the Lord wants me to have, but notice in Matthew chapter 5. Notice in verse 35. nor gone about swearing, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great what? King. The wise men came in Luke and said, where is he that is born? What? King of the Jews. He's the king when he shows up. And he said, the kingdom is at hand. And John the Baptist is preparing the way and getting people ready for him. And on, you have the preaching of Jesus Christ according to prophecy in that Bible. And you have the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the mystery that was revealed by Paul, or to Paul. And that mystery has to do with Christ being the head. Now, look while you're there in Romans, look in Isaiah chapter 8. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14. Isaiah 8, 14, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And there it is. Folks, he was the rock of offense. He was the snare. Verse 15, and many among them shall stumble. They did, AD 70, and they fell. And be broken, and be a snare, and be taken. They were led away into the nations. Verse 16, bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples. Who you reckon that is? That's the 12. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, the Lord, and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And in John chapter 13, he calls them children. And in John chapter 17, it's those that God hath given him. There's the prophetic of the 12 disciples and the Lord on and on. All of this is the preaching of Jesus Christ according to prophecy. And folks, that's what people are preaching today. That's knowing Christ after the flesh. This back here is fleshly. It's earthly, visible, fleshly kingdom on this earth. They have physical signs. They have healing physically. They have water baptism physically. Everything's physical back here for that kingdom. What about you? What about today? Well, look at this thing for a moment. Look with me in Romans. Turn to Romans chapter 8. How many of you are in the flesh? Now, in Christ, we're talking about being in Christ now. Romans chapter 8. Notice what he said. In verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're in Christ, are you in the flesh? Look at verse 9. But ye are not what? In the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if he's none of his, you're not in him. And just don't make no beans about it. Folks, people around here think about being saved, and they're praying for the Holy Spirit. If you ain't got the Holy Spirit, you're not in him. You're lost. You're not in the, he said, but you're not in the flesh. Well, what in the world? Well, let's look at this thing. Turn with me and look in Colossians. In Colossians, I tell you what, stop off at Galatians. Let us go with Galatians. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into what? Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Is there Jew or Greek in Christ? No. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. Now hold the phone. You ladies in here, you in Christ? Well, are you? All right, you can say amen. I mean, you know, that can't be a physical thing there. That's got to be spiritual. I've said this hundreds of times. I've been baptized five times. Five times I got baptized, I went under the water of male and come up out of the water of male. That's a spiritual baptism here. And there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. If you're in Christ, you have His identity. It's a spiritual identity. You don't have your identity in Christ. You are male physically, but you're in Christ as spirit. That ain't all. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 12. For as the body is one, hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Just like your natural body. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. We're baptized by one Spirit. We're baptized into one body. Galatians says we're baptized into Christ. Well, that Christ is that body. It's the body of Christ. It's His identity. It's a spiritual body. And that body's going to rule and reign with Him out there in all of His creation. Not just on the kingdom on this earth, but in all of the creation of God out there is where the body of Christ will reign and shine and demonstrate God's grace to every part of His universe. You're going to be the trophies. But that ain't all. Look with me and go over to Colossians. In Colossians. Well, we'll just stop at Ephesians. Why are you there? Notice in chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body. The church is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all things. Then notice what He says in chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore you are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. In other words, with Paul and the other saints. And of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ, Himself being the chief cornerstone. Hold upon. You have a foundation back here. You have a church back here. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. No man can lay any other foundation than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And Paul said, but I've laid the foundation. Why is the foundation different? Over here, the foundation is the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the mystery. Back here, the foundation is according to the prophecy. And back here is a Jewish prophetic church. And there are a nation of priests back here. And they got the world, earth back here. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. They're going to get the earth. Over here is spirit, spiritual body, spiritual inheritance. Everything blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Man, this thing just keeps on. And the foundation is the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the mystery. Well, what's the mystery? Chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 3, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, those Gentiles that was not in the covenants of promise, that was alienated from the and strangers from the covenants of promise, these Gentiles, those idol worshipers, Gentiles, did not deserve to be saved just like you. Ain't nobody in here deserves to be saved. You deserve hell. If you got what you deserve, you'd be burning in the lake of fire right now. But God showed you mercy. And of the same, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ, and by the gospel. And that's Paul's gospel. The mystery. Now, folks, look in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians 2, verse 10, and you're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Folks, you're complete in Him, which is the head. And folks, the head, look with me in verse 19, and not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, have nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. How do we know Christ today? We know Him in the dispensation of the grace of God as the head of the body of Christ. What about back here? He's the King back here. Back here, He's the Lord. That was in the type of it was in Exodus 14 or 10. One other passage, and then I'm going to let you go. I want y'all to see, folks, today, men today are preaching. Look in 2 Corinthians, and I'll just 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after what? Huh? Well, how do you know him? He said there, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. Well, if we don't know Him after the flesh, how we know it? We know Him according to the revelation of the mystery. We know Him according to the revelation that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. We know Him as the head of the body of Christ. We know Him as the man that died for us. Back here, they knew Him after the flesh. They knew Him as the Lamb. They knew Him as the King. They knew Him that He was to be resurrected. And Peter preached it in Acts 2, to sit upon the throne of David. They knew Him after the flesh. They knew Him as the earthly. We know Him as the heavenly. We know Him as the spiritual one. On and on the thing goes. You know what people need today? They need the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Now, I love Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I love it all. I go through the Bible every year. Some years more than others. But in all my I've always went through it. And I love it all. I love the book of Luke. I love to read about the Lord, how He dealt with people. But I don't know Him as the King of Kings. And He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I know Him as the head. I know Him as according to the revelation of the mystery. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according. That's the foundation upon. Paul said, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. You want to hear them preach and build on a other foundation, just turn the televisions and the radios on and listen to it. If you can. Now, I can. I get about as much enjoyment out of that as I did when I used to watch wrestling. Say, well, wrestling's fake. So is that. I get amazed.